Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fill My Eyes with Poetry. Happy Friday. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Friday. You had a great week, and I hope you have a better weekend to follow. Anyway, hi, Rex. How are you?
I'm fine. What's going on?
Not too darn much. I doing my last minute. Oh, my God, I got to send an email here. Wait, I got to send a message over there. Oh, wait, I didn't change the picture in the room, all my last minute stuff. So, it's what happens when you get sidetracked. I'm good at that. Anyway, yeah, what's new with you? Tell us something good.
Weather, sir.
I don't know, make something up. Weather, yeah, God. Yeah, we had some flurries today. Flurries, just a few. My son's saying they can't snow. So why? He goes, because I don't have the salt. Yeah, he says, I don't have that salt spreader on the back of the truck yet. And I kind of looked at him because then the plows aren't ready. I said, well, that's kind of silly, isn't it? But he goes, well, that's what happens when you get called out of state to go work on something. I went, yeah, whatever. That's a poor excuse. But, yeah, so thank him. But we didn't have any snow because he wasn't ready for it. So he put a cancel on. See? You should all have that kind of pull, right? Anyway. Yeah, so really, there's nothing new in my world. I'm just being a wise ass because that's kind of what I do best anymore. So, that's the way that happens. So anyway, there's nothing much. We've got a great board, I think, for tonight. We've got some great carryovers. We have some good poetry put up for us to enjoy. And, yeah, I think it's going to be another nice night. I do. And if we run out, I guess I have to go and grab something. That's what I can say about it. Or, you know, who knows what I'll do. Maybe I'll sing and dance. Oh, no singing. Maybe I'll dance. I'll dance for everyone. There you go. That would be a sight for sure. I can only dance on the radio because that's the only time I look good dancing. Yep. Yes. And they say I have a face for radio, too. Just saying. Anyway, I know I'm nuts. I'm nuts, and that's the way it happens. So, listen, we have two callers. Right now we have Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Kate, and how are you tonight? Good to have you here.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello, Kate.
I'm fine. Hello, Rex. Hello. Phil, do not dance on the radio because you might fall off.
Oh. unless it's one of those old-time radios from the 20s or 30s and big puppies.
Yes, I like those.
Well, you know, Kate, if I started dancing on anything, I'm bound to fall off, even the floor. You know, that goes without saying. I got two left feet. Well, maybe. I feel much safer when I'm, like, you know, if I'm dancing, I'm best if I sit down. You know, I chair dance very well. Well, maybe not very well, but well enough. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what matters, right? That we make ourselves happy. That's what life's about. Don't tell everybody the secret, though.
I won't.
Something we have to learn as we go along. Yeah, we have to learn that as we go along. And hello, Laurent. Welcome to the party.
Thank you. Good evening from the Great White Expanse, and that is Western New York.
Yep.
So they got you early, huh?
Not too bad with us. Maybe 3 inches, but just a few miles down the thruway, they're dealing with feet, like 4 to 5 feet.
Oh.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never have figured out what makes people want to live there in any of those places that get that kind of snow. I've got, you know, there's got to be a reason.
That's, you love the lakes, but the lakes give and the lakes take away.
Oh, I think the lakes are beautiful. I don't mind. I just don't want to live there in that weather. I can't do it.
You're not that far. You're not that far south from here now. Come on.
I get a hell of a lot less weather.
That sounds like a threat, Gene. Some of that white shit coming your way.
All the winds
got to do is shift a little.
I'll tell you what. I've lived here for 60 years. Got it. 60 years I've lived in this area, and in those 60 years, we've had backlash from one hurricane. Okay, one. The worst snows we've ever had were when I was probably under the age of 10. We just don't get that kind of weather. Now, I'm going to knock on wood because, you know, we all know how foolish that can be to say those things. But we
that
really don't get weather like
that. Late
60s. Look, the last blizzard we had was the day my sister turned 18. And I said that it was all her fault because I said it would be a cold day in hell if Mom let her live that long. You know, because she was just a bad kid. So it was her fault that we had that blizzard, but that was the only real storm, like major storm that we've had in most of my adult years. I mean, we probably had like a snow here or a snow there, but nothing. We're not talking feet except for that one time ever. And I can't even say that a foot is familiar to us. So we're very blessed here with our weather. We're kind of far enough off the coast that we don't get a whole lot of that. And, yeah, if we're lucky, it rains a lot in the fall, so we don't get the winter like everybody else. Because I find that if we have a rainy fall, we don't have a snowy winter. It's kind of amazing, but true. Anyway, now that we've all talked about the weather, Should we talk about our aches and pains next?
There's not enough time in the show.
I agree.
Well, you know, we can always just say it all hurts and keep going. It all hurts. Next. You know, that's what you do, right? Keep it moving. But, yeah, so anyway, aches and pains in the weather. Oh, they're going to say I'm an old fart. They're going to say I'm close. Anywho's house. Yeah, I don't know. So now that I'm done being, like, super silly and, you know, all that stuff that goes with
it. You're not super silly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
she's just the right amount of silly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Some people would argue that. Most people have argued that. Mm-hmm. So, I guess I should really get with this program, huh? Should we get this show on the road?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's see what we got. Oh, yeah. We got a couple new additions since earlier. Oh, there we go. Yes, yes, yes. This is a song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Okie dokie. Let me see where I want to go here. Okay, Rex, I'm going to have you kick us off with Scott Storch and his poem. And this is called A Road We Do Not Know by Scott Storch. And
A Road We Do Not Know by Scott Storch. Black-billed magpies flew like panic out of the blonde patches of prairie grass near the mouth of the Little Bighorn. Overlooking the valley below, Custer stood in the crow's nest where his scouts observed the massive pony herd amidst the largest Indian village anyone had ever seen. The morning wind breathed that summer heat into the prairie grass. Sense and reason swayed where the cold of winter forgets, but crow warriors along the rolling hills forgive no intrusions. Fearing Indian escape, Custer planned his attack, rid the plains of defiant intruders. 12 companies, 3 battalions, lead and cannon fire, hoof and wheel, rolling like thunder in June on a stormy Montana morning. Overlooking the mammoth Indian nation below, friendly crow scout, half yellow face, warned, Custer, you and I are going home today by a road we do not know. The sounds of warriors cried out, coyotes in the still of dawn, bullets collided with bodies, trapdoors, Springfields, and Colt 45s echoed throughout history. Indians with bows and arrows, fighting with and fought the olden ways, side by side with muzzle loaders and breech loaders, encircled the misguided troops, turning point of the Indian wars, Custer's last stand, battling of the Little Bighorn. And poem. All right, so I'll shoot the last one. Why don't you pick us off? Mutating?
I see him, so he must be.
All right. Kate, why don't you chime in the meantime?
Yes, no problem at all. This is a beautifully written poem, very emotive, and very descriptive, which I like a lot. Gives you so much information. I do like that. I'd rather have my information in a poem than in a straight book, to be perfectly honest, because it's far more entertaining. I've been watching the English, a series that was on all about this particular era and from different points of view, and I think this is beautifully done. Yes, so many lovely stanzas, but that last stanza, as usual, Indians with bows and arrows fighting with and for the olden ways. I mean, they had so many. I mean, it was a well-built society they had. They had their ways of doing things, which I think everybody should be allowed to do and let go on with their lives. But, yeah, a horrible time. Shouldn't be forgotten. But wonderful poetry. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you?
You know, I really enjoyed this piece. Scott has a wonderful way with his, Western rights. There's been a couple of them that he's written, and I was just so taken back by. I think he puts wonderful details throughout. You know, right here, the sounds of warriors cried out, coyotes in the still dawn. Bullets collided with bodies. Trapped with Springfield and Colt 45s echoed throughout history. You know, he goes that extra step. And he puts in the type of gun. And, you know, and he doesn't sugarcoat this. I mean, he tells the story as it really was. You know, wasn't it really a pretty sight? Yeah, it may tone down a bit because of the way he wrote it, but he doesn't leave out, you know, the details. And, I thought that it was just great and misery throughout, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Scott, very much for sharing with us, as always.
Thank you, Gene. Mm-hmm. Rot, are you there?
Mm-hmm. I am. I was there earlier, but I had aspirated my coffee, and I was cleaning up the spew. So I apologize for that. I'll second what everyone said about this piece. He has a real capacity for nutshelling entire sequences of thought and reason. For instance, sense and reason swayed where the cold of winter forgets, but crow warriors along the rolling hills forgive no intrusions. You know, everyone defends their own. Unhappily, the tide of history and technology were their downfall, despite the unhappy fate of Custer's last stand, Battle of the Little Bighorn. Great piece.
Oh, absolutely. There's some great lines in here that offer up the depth of thought. Out of the blonde patch of prairie grass, the morning wind breathes summer heat into the prairie grass, and then reality overlooking the mammoth Indian nation below. And that offered note from a half-yellow-faced warned Custer, you and I are going home today by a road we do not know. That was a nice line in there, and I don't know if that's an actual line, but I might have to check that out for the, probably can't be iterated because nobody actually survived. So but I like that thought rolled into that, just a little bit more depth to add flavor and motion into the piece itself. Nicely done, Scott. Thank you. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie doke. I'm going to read the next piece. It's called Blue Danube by Jack Condorick. And this is right up my alley. I just looked at the little one. Kind of thing. Blue Danube by Jack Thompson. Slow dancing in a drowning ballroom. The band playing an encore as the Titanic sinks. Couples sachet wrapped in memory. Dresses a whirl and tuxes flapping like penguins. Blue Danube, a waltz if I remember. Noting water music. The natural selection. And poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Kate, why don't I kick with you, please?
Okay. Okay. Wow. Again, amazing what people can thrust into so few words. Wonderful. I looked at the AN, just a few lines about not recognizing the danger until it's too late. Climate change, anyone? Very good. Yes, get that digging. I like that. So slow dancing in a drowning ballroom. That just sets the whole thing up for me. That's beautiful. And then we go on to the very end, last two lines, noting water music, the natural selection. Very well thought out and gives you a beautiful picture of these people who were completely oblivious to begin with, dancing away. Oh, must have been absolutely awful. And it's amazing that we're still hearing about it and we're still writing about it because it was such an amazingly awful thing to happen. So, yes, I think that's going to be with us for a long, long time. And it was very well done. So thank you, Jack, for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. And Laurent, how about you?
If you take the metaphor of climate change and extend it, if you take the metaphor of the Titanic and extend it to the world, dealing with climate change, the particular poem by Jack, Blue Danube, really occupies two entirely different trains of thought, which I think is lovely. I love the wry humor in the last two lines, the last stanza. Also in the fourth stanza, clapping like penguins, and slow dancing in a drowning ballroom is absolutely a great opening.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron. And Gene, you got to read your type of piece of gravity. What do you think?
You know, I had to stop and think for a second what I was doing here. I thought it was a nicely penned brevity. Intriguing take on the climate change angle of it. You know, when you're reading it and you're reading about the Titanic and this and that and the other thing, it doesn't really leave my mind in that direction. But you kind of see see what he was doing. When you get to the end, it's kind of like, okay, you read the AN. But I thought it was nice work, and thank you, Jack, for sharing with us, as always. Thanks, Deb.
Well said, everybody. I like the angle play, because if you take those first four stanzas by themselves, they do offer up the note scene itself, but as the Titanic sinks, all of that is wrapped within it too, so it kind of walks back in on itself as a as that note, when you don't know what's going on, things really get bad, and everybody pays for it in the end. Noting water music and after selection, hey, it's not like the water hasn't been noted to take life before, not like it will not happen again. Nicely done, Jack. Thank you. All right, Jean, back to you.
Okay. Trying to calm the big woofer. Okay, Kate, I have one for you if you don't mind reading it. It's called Nothing Less Can Satisfy by My Angels 3. So whenever
yes.
You are ready.
Just waiting for it to arrive. Little refresh. Oh, here we are. My Angel 3, that's a lovely handle. Nothing less can satisfy. Love me like a demon, hardcore desire, fiery, deep, and loud, soul-consuming, mind-bending, and head-spinning. Piercing sensuality devouring me until the end of days. Scratches and bites and blood on my lips, pulling at my core, making me scream for you and my body quiver. Love me like a poet, soft and romantic and chivalrous. Touches from your fingertips, tracing down my back and arms that make my body arch, feeling tingly chills. Words about how you feel about me, us, that makes my heart ache with longing and love. Love me like the other side of the moon, dark and mysterious. A side that no one sees but us. The real you that only I get to see, and the real me I only reveal to you, darkness that's sultry. Eruptions that shake us to our core, making our need for both our light insatiable. Altogether are a lethal combination, making me feel wanted, desired, loved, craved. A priority important above all, a constant on your mind and in your heart. A heavy chain to your soul and all yours. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you got first dibs.
He's dibbing.
The test of mute button.
Welcome to a test of this is a carryover from my last Wednesday show. What a great piece this was, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just well done, passion piece, and well written. And I really think that she did a great job with it. You know, I've seen different versions of this image that she used as a prompt on it, and I think that she really did hit the nail on the head with the write itself. And, yes, and by the way, that contest that this was entered in was Second Chances. This won a silver in her original contest. So, but a lovely piece, and well done. So thank you, My Angels 3, very much. Sorry.
Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
Love me like a demon. Love me like a poet. Love me like the other side of the moon. She really grabs the three main types, if you will, of men that a man can be. And all of that wrapped up in one package, well, that's the heavy chain to his soul and all yours. It's a great piece because it's highly sensual, and yet it almost isn't. I'm kind of puzzled at how to explain it. There's a purity to the sensuality, which I really enjoy. That's great work.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. All right, Kate, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, I thought this was wonderful. It's sensual. It is very romantic, but it kind of reads to me like a shopping list of all the. I mean, it's not meant to come. I mean, obviously, I find it very, very interesting, very sexy, very hot. Mm-hmm. But it does kind of read. That's where I think Ron was getting that collected side of it. Yeah, and that's kind of what, and I still think it's beautiful. I'd like to be able to write that as well. But I thought it was very clever, and all the different ways that a man can treat a woman, and that last line, that was the one, a heavy chain to your soul and all yours. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written, very clever. And thank you, my angel three, for that.
Absolutely. This was deeply sensuous, but it was also, it hits on that note of offering up freedom for all sides in the moment. Instead of just the singularity, there's the freedom to open up to the full ride, so to speak, mentally, physically, emotionally. So I think that's what you're getting across with this, which is quite well done. Thank you, my angel. All right, Jane. We're coming back to you.
I did want to say, it's more than one-sided. I mean, love, life, and lust, you know, are not one-sided things. You know, it's all that it encompasses a lot there. And I thought she did a great job with that. So anyway, quiet down. And for our next magic trick. The rock piece for you to read by Mac McGovern, and it's called Since First I Saw You. So whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Since First I Saw You. Since First I Saw You is your eyes mesmerizing me, your gaze transporting me to a realm not of fantasy, real, where young men go when Cupid's arrow takes root. Since First I Saw You, it was your lips captivating me, holding me frozen in anticipation of our lips brushing for the first time. Since I first saw you, it was your voice, a crescendo, light, invigorating. Each word you speak intensifies my hearing, enveloping each note. Time ceases as I hang motionless, savoring, memorizing. Since first I saw you, it was your hair, long, flowing, gently rising above your shoulders as a slight breeze passes through, sending waves of your essence my way. The sun magnifying each strand, highlighting the minute, highlighting the minute variances of invigorating color, creating a halo effect, a portrait of your beauty forever imprinted. Since first I saw you, it was you, my love forevermore, for you, only you. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. All right, Kate, what have you got?
As usual, not a lot. Oh, I thought this was, I mean, fancy having something like that written to you. That was beautiful. And it was, I love the, I do like a repetition. I don't know why, but it seems to comfort me, this repetition of the first few words in each stanza. I think is wonderful. It gathers everything together, makes it flow very beautifully. And I could see the girl in the photograph. And so, of course, you're visualizing what he's seeing on each of those stanzas. But I thought it was very well written, very, very loving, very romantic, very gentle, and a beautiful piece of work. Thank you, Mac McGovern.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was beautiful tribute to the one you love, to the one he loves. Wonderful imagery and nicely penned. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was soft and it was loving. And, he said, oh, yeah, I hope she read it. I hope you shared it with him. If not, that would be just terrible. But beautiful work. So thank you, Max McGovern, for sharing with us. I hope to read you again soon.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Laurent, you got to read it. What do you think?
Well, each time she says, since I first saw you, as Katie said, it's a great repetition, but it introduces the new thing that mentions first the eyes, then the lips, the voice, the hair. And the hair is beautifully described, the sun magnifying each strand, highlighting the minute variances, the invigorating color, the halo effect, which I'm sure we're all familiar with. It was really well done. Very loving.
Excellent. Thank you. I, too, love the offer of repetition, but I saw it a little differently. It kind of hit me like the next first date, so to speak, until everything molded all together into a singularity, which kind of offers itself up as this thought as one continuous angle. But each, if you look at that first stanza, real, where young men go when Cupid's arrow takes root, there's that initiality, that singularity that comes to birth in a moment. All of a sudden, you're mesmerized. And then the next one, it's on your lips, something that captivates that much more, and then the voice, and then the hair, and then the reality of it's only you. So I thought it hit a very nice tone on that level. Nicely done, Mac. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. The next one I'm going to put up is by Poetic Picasso, and this is called The Flute of Our Romance. So I have an audio for that one. So now I just have to find it. Okay.
Within the softness of the fields of lush poppies, I am intoxicated by the smell of a fragrance. As we embrace in the warmth of our passions, deep into the grasses of the nectar of honeysuckles. We feed our mouths bits of the honeydew melons and read the terse of floristic verses of the Kama Sutra under the exotic canopy of a blossoming bliss unfolded beside the naked currents flowing of the gushing milk. I am enchanted by the spell of tantric intimacy, where our bodies sing the harmonies of desires, when I touch a goat in the limits in fine threads, wrapping myself in the seduction of the red shade of your tempting sari, if your bangles then pile. My turban covers the bosom of your excitation, drinking the aphrodisiac of the honey of eroticism, submerged within the exploration of its taste, discovering the central facts of the misty seeds. We sprinkle ourselves in the arousal of cinnamon and spices and saffron the misty open thoughts as the fresh petals of poppies, lost in the aesthetics of the poetry of the three, recited in the beauty of the Sanskrit. Drifting into the Kama Sutra of the magical place of lovers, though I have reached a crescendo of the flute of our romance, and our bodies delight in the sounds of lyrical notes, when our music writes the symphony of orgasmic lovemaking.
Great read, Ted.
The symphony of orgasmic.
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
This is quite a polished piece. He brings us to the Indian continent and to the Kama Sutra, and manages to hit on any number of little hints of their culture, from the fruit to the spell of tantric intimacy, the golden ornaments, fine threads, wrapping myself in the seduction of the red shade of your tempting sari, of your bangles, and they all. He uses spices, he uses their music, their clothing, and he uses the style, I think, very effectively. This is wonderfully presented and an enviable right. Really well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes, this is so well written. And it just flows. There's no hill to jump over. There's no curve to trip you. It's just beautifully written. And it's very, very, obviously very sexual. But the Kama Sutra coming into it gives you an idea of just exactly how seductive this is going to get, doesn't it? And I thought it was just beautifully balanced. Beautifully balanced between what we were thinking and what we were reading, which I thought is a very good thing to do, because you're exciting and enticing your readers to listen carefully and see what's going to happen. So I thought it was very well done, as usual. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, Frank. Thank you.
Jean, how about you?
I knew you were going to come to me next, because I'm the third in line. I thought it was beautiful imagery throughout this piece. It was seductive and passionate. Wonderful audio, as always, and I really enjoyed it. So I want to thank Frank for sharing with us and adding it to our contest and to the show. So, excellent piece.
Great comments, everybody. He dipped into very deeply and metaphorically into eroticism without actually offering up anything erotic of note, but you're there nonetheless. The thoughts of that banter are quite illuminating within the metaphor itself, and he drops in some great thoughts. Effects of the methi seeds are a great touch, since they're supposed to be a part and parcel, a note to increase the libido, and you roll in with the Kama Sutra. Everybody knows what the Kama Sutra is all about. So there's that sort of woven here too, and just the touch he throws in the harmonies of desire. So the sort of my turban covers the bosom of your excitation. Nice touches, just little notes, and then the finishing out symphony of orgasmic lovemaking offers up the back end of things. But everything else is done with a nice noted touch to simplicity while digging deeply into the realm itself. Very nicely done, Frank. Thank you very much. Oh, Jean, we're coming to you.
Okay, and I'm going to toss it right back to you, and I'm going to give you this piece by Someday Man, and it's called Size High Kiss. So, it could be interesting.
Okay. Size High Kiss by Someday Man. Pudding soft, rounded gel, ivory pale, sweetly shaded from the sun's peak, beckoning taps, squeezing, freckled chime gams in her high thigh, the right one, I remember, padded branch from bent knee sloping down. There I remember, swabbing ladle, paintbrush dabs of lips and tongue pressed to your flesh, bobbing the beating quiver, bluff tremble of bones, cushioned skin, fearing the muffled, withered pants escape your throat with fed vibrating moans swallowed. Inhaling the close beating soft want, brewing, urging a moth's drawn taste and sensing the tug of your legs opening wider at each thigh's high kiss. And boom.
Nice.
All right, Kate, why don't we start with you?
Did you say Kate or did you say Phil?
Oh, you want to
I'm
go first?
Going over here. No. I didn't hear what you said. Honest.
All right, Kate. How about you? What do you think? Oh, go ahead, Jean.
No, that's good. I just
come
what
on.
A wonderful, wonderful tune. Well, okay, if you insist. it was a wonderful, wonderful piece. Highly, you know, sensual and seductive and just, yeah, it really hit all the right notes. It did. And wonderful job Someday Man. I think that the imagery, oh my goodness, yes, the imagery was something else. Real. But it was really well done. And that's the whole thing. It's not like it was crass. It was just really well presented and beautiful. And I love that. So great job. And thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you, Jean. Kate, how about you?
Oh, that was very well written. I enjoyed it a lot. At that first line, pudding soft, rounded gel. Not very sure about the gel. So I'll leave that one. I'll get back to that one later. But that's just the whole litany of the fabulous dessert. I thought it was just so good. And just, you know, it's lovemaking. It's beautiful. There's nothing crass about this. It's just a very sweet explanation about how wonderful life can be.
Excellent. Thank you, ladies. Laurent, how about you?
This is the kind of sensual poem that I know Jean likes. The use of the metaphors in this particular piece is wonderfully done. Things like bobbing the beating quiver, bluff tremble of bones, cushioned skin. There's so many ways to write about lovemaking and eroticism in general. And, you know, when you get the body parts and thrusting and all of that, it's that's old hat. This is skillful. And Thighs High Kiss is a great great line from a poet who knows how to use words that make you remember it. It's an easy thing. It's a hook to me. Outstanding piece.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. This was words were chosen carefully for their not just the impact, but what can be drawn out of them. Those two lines you read were great. Hearing the muffled with a pants escape your throat with fed vibrating moan swallow was also a nice in-between until you got down to that last stanza, which was quite moist in its delivery and lovingly done. Excellent piece, Someday. Thank you. All right, Jean. Now that we put some heat in the evening,
I don't know where I'm going now. You know, best thing is tracking myself. All his fault. Okay, I'm going to read the next piece, and this is called Blazing Desire by Heavenly Angel. Oh, I don't know. This could get crazier and crazier. That was a good contest. From that first sensual touch as we make intimate contact, I feel the heat intensify. White hot blazing heat. Desire like a wisp of smoke rising. An underlying current of high voltage electricity flows between us. The warmth of his breath caresses my body, creating goosebumps of anticipation upon my flesh. His fingers brush across my silken skin, playing me like a fine violin, creating a molten trail of raw emotions. He ignites the flame, he sets me on fire, blazing desire and soul.
Great, Regine. And we're burning down the house tonight. Laurent, why don't you kick us off, please?
Yeah, blazing desire. The poem begins with heat. I feel the heat intensify, white hot blazing heat, desire like a wisp of smoke rising. You get that nice image and you sense that something is coming. Absolutely, that underlying current of high voltage electricity, that sensation that really you're only going to get in moments of intimate contact. Blazing desire ignites the flame and sets me on fire, blazing in desire. Nice rhyme, nice rhythm to the piece.
Excellent, thank you. Kate, how about you?
I agree with everything Laurent said. It is very sensual. And it sets you up right at the very beginning with that wonderful heart. That's just beautiful. I love that on my wall. And the different ways she describes the heat of the touch and the senses being applied, I like that a lot. And that last three lines, he ignites the flame, he sets me on fire, blazing desire. That was lovely. It was a beautiful setup for that last couple of lines.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Heavenly Angel.
All right. Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought this was a great piece, and I have to agree with Kate. I like the different ways that she expressed the heat and the flame and the passion and the desire in that manner. But I thought it was an excellent piece and a great job. I did a great job igniting our flames. Nicely penned, and thank you so much for sharing with us and adding to the contest. Absolutely. It was a brevity, but I think that she accomplished everything she set out to do. I think everything was great. I love the lines, the warmth of his breath caresses my body, creating goosebumps of anticipation upon my flesh. I like those two lines it's broken down into. And I think it was just, she did a great job. So thank you for sharing with us as a light angel.
Well, nicely said, everyone. Some heated piece. We run back to back to back to back. So this one, again, rolls into a sensuality, but does it in a nice tone of flavor, very different from all the others, so they all stand out. But this one, notwithstanding it being brevity, still works the same way. Nicely done, Heavenly. Thank you very much. All right, Jane. Coming your way.
Okay, Kate, that's going to bring me to you, and we're going to have a whole change of pace here. So everybody, stop, take a breath. We're going in a whole different direction. I should have told you that before the last three. But this one is called Dancing with Death by Darkened Auras. So whenever you're ready, Kate.
Okay, my dear, I've just got it now. Just opening up. Dancing with Death. Wow. Okay. They danced the waltz of murder. She melted into his masterpiece, painted in milky liquid and flowing blood. Round and round they twirled and swirled, mixing into a collage of excitement and death. She wanted to feel alive, and he was a killer. Both got off on the sight of crimson flowing freely out of a freshly opened artery. Take me, please, she whispered, as she spun her mind and body like water circling the drain. His voice, his eyes burrowed deep as he held her close, and through a mind message he replied, "I'll see you soon for an encore." And then he vanished. She awoke in a hospital bed, saved from her dance with death, by a worried sister that can't understand why she wants this dance to last forever. End poem.
Great read, Kay. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you get first kicks.
You know, this piece, I really liked it. I liked it. There's a romanticism with death going on in this piece, you know, that dance, that wanting to, you know, dance on, you know, into the, well, the darkness. And I think that it was really, really nice and tender and put together. You know, "Take me, please," she whispered, as he spun her mind and body like water circling the drain. His void charcoal eyes buried deep as he held her close, and to a mind message he replied, "I'll see you soon for an encore." And he vanished. That, you know, that was an intriguing turnaround there, because you didn't expect for it to end like that. And I think that she had a little bit of a twist there at the end, and giving you the little bit, that last stanza, I think, just made you go, you know, and think about it a little bit more. And I think it was nicely done. So thank you so much, Dark and Earth. Great job. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you, Jean. Laurent, how about you?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this poem was wonderfully morbid. Possibly the most morbid romantic poem I think I've ever read. But it's a polished piece. It's well written. And then at the end, when you see that is a person who may indeed have tried to commit suicide. She's got a lot going on in the piece. It's a really nice twist, as was mentioned earlier.
I agree with that. Thank you, Laura. All right, Kate, you got the lead. How about you?
Yes, I like the twist. I do like a twist at the end. Because I was reading it, and as I read it, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we've got a woman who's in love with death, clinging on to him. And then when he told her that it wasn't her time and left her, then I'm thinking, what's going to happen next, as you would. And then we get that wonderful, his void charcoal eyes buried deep as he held her close, and through a mind message she replied, "I'll see you soon for an encore." And he vanished. I thought that was just beautiful. And then you find out why she was the way she was in her hospital bed. So yes, I thought it was incredibly well done, and I really enjoyed reading it. So thank you, Doc and Doris.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. Great comments, everybody. This wasn't so far off the beaten track that you were thinking on, Jean, because there are central notes to the upper hand of this, the sort of embalming oneself within the idea of death and then making it your lover, so to speak, only to find that he disappears as Kate offers up, only to hit on that note. "I'll see you again soon," as a passing thought, and then the wake up, and that is a nice twist in ending. It did walk a very different flavor from the beginning of the piece itself. Nicely done, DA. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, it's back up to you.
Thank you, Doug. Well, Laura, the next piece I have up, I'm going to put up for you, is "Cold Milk and Ice Cream and Fresh Bread" by Laurent. Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine. "Cold Milk, Ice Cream, and Fresh Bread. In mud and river bottom up to my waist, something strong squirms beneath my feet, darting away, nearly upsetting me. River catfish can grow large in the Nam, big enough to see you as food. Rifle lowers, sending a scattering of boats pinwheeling into the murk. Sarge curses wearily, our position advertised, but he doesn't say much. Not the first time a new fish let off a few. Miles, you've struggled. Miles to go. We'll never get there. Jungle hates us, hates our inexperience, are clumsy blundering through an ancient ecosystem. Snakes, poison, spiders with thick webs that won't let you go, humid heat that curdles whatever desires are upstairs in that teenage body playing soldier, cold milk, ice cream, and fresh bread. After a while, it's what I was fighting for, a return to the teenage familiar. Mom's letter burns in my pocket, dead sick and from a world away. Just a quiet guy, likes to read and play chess, expected to kill. End poem.
Great read, Lalonde. Thank you very much. And Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Okay.
Well, I thought it was great.
I'm going to change my name. That's what it is. You can all call me Catherine.
I've got to tune my ears in.
Anyway, yes, beautifully written. I mean, I could actually feel that mud at the bottom of the river. Ugh, and the catfish. Ugh. You don't want to put your foot on something that moves. You really don't.
No.
Nope. I think being these poor kids being drafted, I know that for the most part they came out better than they went in, I imagine. But I think, you know, you're taking these young people and making them do things that, you know, they wouldn't do and they'd never be allowed to do in real life. But because there's a war, they are basically just cannon fodder, it just makes me sad. It makes me so sad. All these young lives wasted. But so that's what it brought to my mind. But I thought, the snakes with poison, spiders with thick webs that won't let you go, humid heat that curdles whatever desires are extant in that teenage body playing soldier. That just encapsulates the whole of my thoughts as a teenage boy playing soldier in such circumstances that you should never be first into. So yes, thank you so much. Again, you made me think, which I love, but it was beautifully done.
Thank you, Katie.
Nicely said, Kate. All right, Jean, what do you think?
You know, I thought it was an excellent piece of art. You know, you well expressed the feelings of, you know, how you felt while trapped in that position of, while trapped in that position of being in the war. You know, it's not someplace that anybody really wants to be. Well, I shouldn't say there are some people that you know are okay with that, you know, but for the most part, I think they're not. And I think you really put it in perspective for the readers. You know, the last two stanzas, you know, the cold milk, ice cream, and fresh bread, after a while, it's what I was fighting for. A return to the teenage familiar. You know, mom's letter burns in my pocket. Dad's sick and on the world away. Just a quiet guy, likes to read and play chess, expected to kill. I just have this, you know, and not having been there, you know, you can read it and know, yeah, what a lousy, you know, lousy, lousy spot that is. I mean, you do what you have to do and you do what, you know, what you know, feel you should, but it doesn't mean that it always sits well inside. So I think it was just a great job. So wonderful piece.
Yeah, let me just explain the cold milk, ice cream, and fresh bread. Now, I was in the Navy, and obviously I didn't fight in the jungle on land, but the patrol craft would spend weeks in country on these little rivers. When they had any time whatsoever, they would descend down the deltas and come to our ship. They would come aboard, and the three things they wanted more than anything were cold milk, ice cream, and fresh bread. And I had to find a where I could use that. So it's a work of the imagination, but it's based on first-hand experience of sorts. Sorry for the interruption.
No problem. Thank you.
But you're right. The backdrop is what makes this stand out. You get all that money spent and the heaviness of training, but you're never trained as to the shit you get dipped into. And you hit on that very well with that sort of something squirming beneath your feet. And they don't tell you that the catfish in these river deltas can get up to 50, 60, 70 pounds and even larger. So it's something you've never experienced before. And that thought to firing off rounds because you don't know what the hell's lurking below your feet. And then you roll in that line. Not the first time a new fish has let off a few. That angle, the newbie in country. And then you hit on. The jungle hates us. Our clumsy buds blundering to an ancient ecosystem. Again, that nice note. But then you dip into it further with snakes with poison, spiders with thick, thick webs that won't let you go. Humid heat that curdles whatever desires are extant in that teenage boy playing, body playing soldier. A nice dip into the reality of the moment. And like you said, that note to cold milk, ice cream, fresh bread, something. Because when you got in country, you didn't get anything that was of any note that you could remember as a touch of home until you got a little bit of breathing room. Like you said, hitting on the ship, and, hey, we want some ice cream because you guys always had some, I guess the captains, the admirals, whatever, they always had some ice cream around because now that heat, you want a bit of flavor. They always got the good stuff. So it was nice to share with those moments. And that last stanza, it does hit back again to those notes of youth and hard times.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a great comment.
Oh, you're welcome. Did you want to add something?
I did, but it flew right out of my mind. Can you believe it? Getting old.
Not a problem. We all have moments like that. All right, Gene, we're coming back your way.
Moments. I have days like that. Let's not even go there. Okay. We're not talking about tomorrow's show, Frank. We're talking about tonight's show. Jay I. Smith, Bad Company. I had to answer Frank. I had to give him a help, too. Okay. Rex, I'm coming to you with this next piece. It's The Bus Ride by Cedar Tavern.
All right. The Bus Ride by Cedar Chapman. My nickel rolled in. He wore a tan fedora with felt brim and donned a chocolate briefcase. I could feel his breath. The hairs on his knuckles brushed against the back of my hand, sending jolts up my thigh. His square jaw and deep-set eyes locked to mine. I looked away, my face flushed pink with heat. Each red light, precious moments where skin teased like velvet petals on my back. Are other passengers noticing? My scalp tingled. I could feel the beads of sweat glistening under each follicle. Air seemed to vanish as if a boulder sat on me, paralyzing my lungs. I distracted my thoughts with the gray Studebaker driving beside us. Finally, the Wrigley's double mint billboard. My stop arrives, two steps down. The bus leaves. I don't look back. Slowly, I walk home to have pot roast with my wife and poem. Hmm. All right, Laurent, why don't you kick us off? What'd you say?
The use of the Studebaker kind of dates them. The Wrigley's double mint billboard, the tan fedora, chocolate briefcase. He really sets the time for this piece, which I enjoy. And my nickel rolled in. Everything he writes is right out of the 50s and 60s. Pretty amazing. And this is a romantic poem with a different, well, not a romantic, a sensual poem with a difference, which I really enjoy. The Bus Ride is a great write. He takes us on a bus ride in the most peculiar way. I really enjoy Cedar's writing.
Excellent. Thank you. Kate, how about you?
Yes, it was. Very well done. Very well done indeed. So we're on a bus, noticing people around us, noticing one more, then we do the rest, I think. And then we have those last few lines that gives you an idea of exactly what this chap's life is like. Slowly, I walk home to have a pot roast with my wife. I like that ending a lot. That brought it all the way around from what I first felt to now feeling sorry for him and living a lie. So yes, beautifully done, as ever. Thank you so much, dear.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I think this piece had great imagery, and I think that there was a lot said. You never think that Cedar was a young person. And that came up quite by accident way back when during one of the shows, well, after one of the shows. And I thought that this was just really a clever write. I think it's such a young person, and he's got this thing nailed as if, you know, he would lose it. And I think that that's pretty amazing. You know, I'm usually taken back, but wonderful, wonderful imagery. Great lines, a great story told, you know, throughout. It definitely captures our attention. And, you know, the prompt for this, right, which I thought was kind of neat, right to the prompt, to be sensual and rejoice in the force of life, life itself, and to be present in all that one does, from the effort of loving to the making of bread, James Baldwin. So excellent prompt, and I think he did a great job meeting that prompt. So great job, Cedar, and thanks for sharing, as always.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. Great comments, everybody. And Laurent was right. This is a one hell of a bus ride. It does dig into sensuality. And like Kate said, it does walk into the duality of a time when acceptance was something that you actually had to hide, lest different things happen. And the sort of this, the Studebaker, the sort of Wrigley's Doubleman billboard does that dated, kind of a late 50s, maybe early 60s Chicago. And it does paint a sad scene at the bottom end. It wasn't expecting the last couple of lines, that note of hard edge ache in the soul, so to speak. Nicely done, Cedar. Thank you. All right, Jean.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I am trying to get there. Okay. I hit that button. I'm good now. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Robert M., and this is called Requiem of Silence, and I have an audio for that as well. So here we go. Got it.
This is my recital of Requiem of Silence. Dreams crash from a newly marred sky. Puddles of tears have since boiled dry. The stars to which the soul had prayed came crashing upon the heart's parade. And so with nothing left to wish upon, the fight left and this man has gone. Tossing and turning in his bed, reminiscing of the words unsaid. Smiles have been safely tamed, as a fool's desire goes unnamed. He feels it best to be confined to the cemetery within his mind. For in this sanctum he can mourn each of the pieces that were torn. Now the withering can begin, deep in the solace within. Frailty seeped through fractured veins, slowly the poison steadily drains. The goodness leaks from this husk as lone whispers in the dusk. The wayward shadow has lost its tongue, so his eulogies will go unsung. Martyred on the pyre of melancholy, the wretched price for his folly. The heart sighs in its final beat, internal erosion is now complete. His last spark ignited the flame, consolidating this act of shame. He no longer has tears in which to choke for all of his humanity. went up in smoke.
Great read, Robert. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It was very much appreciated. All right, Gene, why don't we start with you? Gene, you there?
I wasn't done typing yet. I am. You know, when I first heard this piece, you know, it's incredibly sad and wonderfully written. It was heartbreaking because then in his AN it says a poem about heartbreak, disappointment, shedding of feelings. And, you know, you can put yourself into that as you read this and just, you know, slough it off little by little. And I think he captures that very well. But definitely an amazing work and well done. So thank you, Robert, as always, for sharing with us.
Nice, Gene. Thank you. Laurent, how about you?
Stay off mute.
Are you on mute?
I sure was. Man.
Well,
what was... Okay. All right. The internal dissolution of a person is a frightening thing. And I thought that Robert captured that perfectly. The wayward shadow has lost its tongue, so his eulogies will go unsung, martyred on the pyre of melancholy, a wretched price for his folly. How someone can just crumble into emotional pieces is beautifully handled. If something like this could be called beautiful. It's a true, true look inside of someone who's really struggling.
Nice. Thank you, Rob. All right, Kate, what do you think?
I don't think I'd ever want to feel that again. I think I've had enough of that. It's so sad, so heartbreaking. And the cry within your mind is always, what did I do wrong? You know, it's just so hard. When you care for somebody, perhaps don't. So, yeah. Sorry, I'm catching myself up here while I'm reading it. I particularly liked his last spark ignited the flame, consolidating this act of shame. Yes, I thought beautifully put together, beautifully written. I like the two stanzas. That's very good. So, thank you so much, Robert, for allowing us to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. I agree. This cat had a nice desolate note to it, the extinguishing of one's inner core, so to speak. And I like the fact that he added the voice to go along with it. It added that note of not just the shame, but the pure harmony of being lost within that angle. So, excellent. Well done there, Robert. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you.
I knew you were coming back to me. I just knew it. Knew it. But I'm ready for you.
Mind reader.
Next piece I'm putting up is Chrysalis by Alice and I. I've been called worse. A few times over, actually. But this is Chrysalis by Allison Hodges. I'm in a cocoon, but not quite. Part of me watches from outside for every quiver and wiggle. I watch my hands with crepe skin and bold blood vessels, fingertips half-grown, tapping on the keys. Whose hands are those, I think? My tattered turquoise jogging jacket covers what my skimpy nightgown doesn't. Zoom only sees me from the waist up. All my movement is in slow motion. My pen is dry. It scratches across the paper, but cannot tap a drop. The cavernous hole left by my broken partial squawks for me to suck my lip into the gap, and I oblige. My son appears in the doorway to my study and suggests I go outside and garden. Finally, the chrysalis is broken, and I rise from my chair and home.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Kate, wanted to start with you.
Chrysalis, yes, very good. So what I take from this is somebody who's finding it quite hard to do what they're supposed to do. whatever that Zoom conference was about. My tattered turquoise jogging jacket covers what my skimpy nightgown doesn't. Zoom only sees me from the waist up. How many people during the lockdown did exactly that? Didn't bother. Shirt and tie and jacket and boxer shorts. Love it. So, yes, I think this is beautiful. I really enjoyed it. Somebody who was doing what they're supposed to do but not overly keen, and so decided that gardening would probably do the trick. Yes. Well done. Thank you very much, Alison. It was good.
Thank you, Kate. And Laurent, how about you?
This is a very inventive, really fascinating in so many ways. The chrysalis signals that transformation when the moth becomes the butterfly, something beautiful. But here, I think it's more about age than anything else. I wash my hands with crepe skin and bold blood vessels, fingertips half-grown, tapping on the keys. Whose hands are those, I think? Obviously a description of an older person's hand. She's a writer. She has a study. And yet the sun appears in the doorway and suggests I go outside and garden. And that is that breaks the chrysalis. So it's almost as if the chrysalis is open and she emerges of an age where a sun will take the writer out of its natural environment, tell him to go garden, because he realizes that perhaps she can't write anymore. At least that's what I read. I love this piece.
Nice. Thank you very much, Laurent. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I think this is an awesome write, a wonderful take on the chrysalis. You know, that was a wonderful concept to work this poem off of. Totally different thoughts, but merged so well here. We remain wrapped up in our thoughts until we're through. Then we rise and begin anew. I think she did a great job, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much, Alison, for sharing with us tonight. Great piece.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone. The chrysalis to me is that world that she's embalmed in, yet that world's not working as being the writer. Nothing is coming in the tone of her voice and the way she hits on the descriptive notes of herself. So she's kind of sat into this a depressive angle. And like you said, Laurent, the appearance of the sun in the doorway offers up that note to take the writer, the author, the depressed note out of the equation and put her into a different realm, a different frame of mind, going outside, getting a little sun, to gardening, anything to free up that patch, which is dry at the moment, and maybe blossom something new. Nicely done, Alison. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay, though. The next piece I'm going to put up, and good night, Frank. Thank you for stopping by and listening. I know you haven't been feeling well. The next piece we're going to put up is by Arcana Amor, and it's called A Dream Within Dreams, and I have an audio for that one. So here we go.
The sky is dark, the dusk has kissed, the night air cold on rising mist. Safely in bed, you closed your eyes, perchance to dream before you rise. You toss and turn within your sleep, towards your mind, see visions creep. Some seem happy, whilst some seem sad. His eyes laid bare, or scantily clad. During the darkness, you ride your dreams through verdant valleys with flowing streams to beyond the places you've ever been, beholding sights you've never seen. Sometimes the dreams you ride are mares that lure you into their spidery lairs to trap you in their tightening grip and offer a poisoned chalice to sip. All you imagine roams freely from bounds through whispers. Here a heart that pounds, wrapped in a shroud, you feel a stare. You'd open your eyes if only you'd dare. For fear the dream may indeed be real, to clutch some forlorn soul to steal. A shadow crouches at foot of your bed, awaiting to feast the fears it's fed. Dreams can bring fame and fortune too, or romance and love that's overdue, retracing steps from the distant past, remembering days you wish could last. At times you fly where others you fall. As dreams descend, you hear their call. Dreams seem so vivid, you see and feel. Is waking the dream, and dreams are real. The night is long before the dawn. The daybreak heralds a yawn to mourn. Another night passed, now gone forever, followed by dreams that dwell wherever. Be sure you awaken Before you rise. Don't be fooled by clear blue skies. Oh, dream time has ended, or so it seems. Waking may just be a dream within dreams.
Great read, Arcana, and thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Laurent, why don't you kick us off? What did you think about this?
I'm going to compare this poem and the read and the presentation to what Frank does. They both, according to Picasso, they both have an understanding of the medium and a grasp of the techniques of SoundCloud to give us stuff that is really borders on the professional. So kudos for the way this is presented. The stanza, I can find it. Okay. Sometimes the dreams you ride are mares that lure you into their spidery lairs to trap you in their tightening grip, offer a poisoned chalice split to sip. But mares, of course, are women, and he makes the take the image at the top of the poem. She is very agile, and she could lure me very easily. And there is such a difference between real life and dreams that disappears in this. And you're given to wonder whether or not what you're seeing is real or simply a dream? And are there dreams within dreams? Is it three stages? Is it two stages? Lots of interesting things going on in this particular poem. I love the way he rhymes. It's a great presentation and a great poem.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Well, that is a lovely sound cloud. I love the echo. Very clever. Adds so much to it. Gives it atmosphere. And, oh, very good. I do like his reading voice. And it has to be said that this is a piece of poetry that is sad, because I have been in a dream that I believed was real when I woke up and was so disappointed that it wasn't real. So that last, I really was. I had for about 10 years in this dream a beautiful family who loved each other, and we had a beautiful house, beautiful memories. Then I woke up and he wasn't there. It was awful. I actually grieved for it. I showed you how bad people can get when they think they've lost something. But, yeah, that last stanza did everything, didn't it? Be sure you awaken before you rise. Don't be fooled by clear blue skies. Though dream time has ended, or so it seems, waking me, just a dream within dreams. Yes, and that's so true. It can take you to the point where you think it's true, and then you realize it's not. So beautifully read and beautifully written, and thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. That picture itself offers up that sort of a dream within a dream within a dream, because you've got three worlds looking out across the horizon there, and that naked figure and the wispiness floating nearby. But this was, I think, the best piece I've heard from Arcana yet. The music was perfect for the angle of a dream world, and the echo on the last two words of each line was a nice touch to elongating that angle of the dream world itself, as well as the language he used in it, that second stanza. You toss and turn within your sleep, towards your mind see visions creep. Some seem happy while some seem sad, desires laid bare or scantily clad. During the darkness you ride your dream, through verdant valleys of flowing streams, to beyond the places you've ever been, beholding sights you've never seen. And a real nice introduction to the dream world, and then rolling through all of the varied angles and what you should be well aware of when you think you're awake, or you really awake as a finishing touch. Great piece, Arcana. Thank you very much. Gene, is you back yet?
Well, I have to oh gosh, am I on mute? Oh no, I'm not on mute. Yay! It was a wonderful piece by Arcana. I actually got back in time to kind of scan through it and kind of trying to catch up. Wonderful job. And, yeah, I think you did an excellent job with that. The title alone, you know, Dream Within Dreams, you know, of course, that leads you to think of Poe for a moment. But I think he did it way different, the whole concept. And I think it was just an excellent job. Great audio, as always, you know. So nice work, and thank you, Arcana, for sharing with us, as you always do, so generously. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up, Kate, I'm going to ask you to read this one. This is by A.R. Mundell, and it's Depths of Love.
Okay, thank you. Got it. Depths of Love.
Okay.
It starts like water, puddle deep, toes dipped, barely wet. A few more calls, a few more texts, and now your ankle's next. A longer greeting, longer pause, and wistful for their laugh, seeking out a glimpse of them or wonder where they are. Before you've even realized, the water's at your knees. A fleeting touch, which lights you up. You frown at the thigh-high seas. Noticing the water now, but still not quite sure why, you try to reason it away. You think, it's all a lie. But then it climbs your waistline when you just hear them speak. And every little action makes creeping liquid leap. Like heartstrings pulled asunder with every breath they breathe. Boiling you within its depths, so without them is to grieve. But you lose track of wetness in lieu of their fair gaze, until you one day lift your eyes to see ripples over rays. Ocean deep, you walk its bed, where once there had been sky. But instead of drowning, you grew gills, and then you learned to fly. End poem.
Great read there. Kate, thank you very much. And Laurent, what do you think about this?
What a great metaphor this is. Titled Depths of Love, of course, referring to the ocean of love with a bottom that we can't possibly find. I like the way he takes it from toes dipped, barely wet, into the ankle, and then the water at your knees, and climbing the wasteland, et cetera. And then sometimes that's what love is. You know, every little action makes creeping liquid leaps. I thought was a nice way of describing that. I like the size of this. It makes for an easy read, but and it takes us bit by bit by bit to the end. Very clever ending. Growing gills and then going to fly. I really like this piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. Gene, how about you?
You know, I love this piece, and I'm trying to figure out how to put it in words. I thought it was just very well done, a wonderful metaphor throughout. And I just thought it was just so, just really well done. How many times have we been in over our head? And, you know, you kind of stay there for a while because, you know, you're not sure how to get out of it. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute. And you just transform a little bit because you get smarter or you get better, and you become, it's kind of like that chrysalis thing. You kind of open up and you're different, and you just move on with it, you know, and you take the lesson with you. And I think that it was just really an incredible piece and really well done, Amy, and thank you so much for sharing that with us. And it's just excellent, clever, really.
Thanks, Jean. Kate, you got to read it. What about you?
Oh, yes, I did enjoy it. The moving from just dipping your toes in to a relationship at the start of it, and then as time goes on and you get to know the person a bit more, then you're a little bit more invested. Then you talk, and then there's longer talks, and then you meet. And I don't think it went very well. because maybe it did go well. Maybe she did completely immerse herself in this and grew gills and then went off. So, yes, it may have ended very beautifully. But it was, as I say, a tentative start and beautifully written. You could get all of the emotion so easily. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. I'll agree. I think the immersion is what really works with this. The toes dipped in, then the ankles, before you realize it's up to your knees. And then there's even a touch. It climbs to your waistline when you hear them speak. But before that, you've got that note. You think it's all a lie. It's a little bit of fear mixed in with that. That note to the creeping liquid leap, like marching full of summer with every breath they breathe, boiling you within their depths. So without them, it is to breathe. It's kind of, then that fear takes on a new role of am I to be left, so to speak. But then you roll down into that last stanza, the ocean deep, you walk its bed where once that there's that sky. Then you grew gills, and then you learned to fly. That angle of the gills is freedom in the moment by realizing you're fully immersed, and you want to enjoy and embrace the moment itself. So, nicely done there, AR. Thank you very much. And, Gene, we're coming back to you.
All right. Well, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Poeta de Cabra. And I also have an audio from him. Thought I did. Hang on, let me see what the hell I did, because that was silly. Hey, what did you do to me? Oh, Poeta. Okay, I have to go find a damn link. Did I say that? I did. I said that out loud. Okay. Take a deep breath. Sorry, guys. Not very thoughtful. There we go. Me too. Me too. We're just moving right along here, you and me. I don't know where the hell I'm supposed to put it now. There we go. lost the room, lost my mind. Okay, so let me put this on, and here we go.
Not Very Thoughtful by Poeta de Cabra. Spring in Geelong, wet and cool. Never before felt so miserable. Weather gods are so confused, and to top it off, I've lost my muse. Usually, the beach and bright blue sea brings my muse straight back to me. Sun won't shine, all I can do is cry. Even an umbrella can't keep me dry. Can't see very far out in the bay due to the mist and fog. Pen and paper are soaked and my laptop is waterlogged. If I said I wasn't missing the sun, I'd certainly be lying. There are floods everywhere. The Barwon again is rising. She said, "Move to Geelong, enjoy the sun and the sea." Funny, but never before had my sweetheart lied to me. Moved here from South Australia, was actually highly emoted, but spent the first 2 years dodging and weaving COVID. Guess everyone is hoping that soon the dreaded rain ends. Meanwhile, I'll sit here alone on the beach with all my friends. Poor old sun can't find its way through the clouds that hover. Seems too the fish are hiding and the seagulls are looking for cover. So wet, the worms are drowning, gardeners covered in slugs. Only boats moving in the bay are a couple of tugs. Decided to try and enjoy the beach, not getting any younger. Can handle getting wet, but not any lightning and thunder. They say getting wet and cold isn't good for my health. Looking at the positives now, I have the whole beach to myself. Could stay at home, I guess, but hell, that would be boring. Watching Netflix or Stan with missus and dog snoring. So I got up this morning and gathered my thoughts, put on thongs, a t-shirt and a pair of board shorts. Weather so bad actually causing accidents with trains. Here I am dodging puddles and getting chillbones. Then back on the beach with the wind and rain in my face, I look up to the weather gods and shout, "What a disgrace!" Only things liking the weather are weeds that grow fast, and 3 times a fortnight have to mow the grass. Between rain and COVID, no sport for the kids. Still, I like to stay positive. Wouldn't be dead for quids. Seems stupid, really, as for the sun I do yearn, because no doubt I complain then about heat and sunburn. Who cares if it's raining and if the weeds do thrive? I'm going to get my muse back. Thank God that I'm alive. Weather and COVID can cause even a good Christian to curse. I myself have decided to move on. Things could be a hell of a lot worse. Weather gods have been miserable, not at all thoughtful. Remember, though, under each rainbow, there could be a potful. End poem.
Great read, Poeta. Thank you for the sound pad. It's very much appreciated. Kate, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. I love his accent. Yes, this is basically just taking you through the life of somebody who doesn't particularly care for the weather, but is quite happy to be alone sitting on the beach, even if he's not having such a great time. So he's moved there with his lady friend, sweetheart, and she's just saying, "Well, if you don't like it, move," which is a little bit sad. So, yeah, very emotive. It made me smile, you know, even though it was very sad. So I think that's a clever thing to do. So, yes, I enjoyed it very much, and thank you for sharing. Whatever you want. Okay.
And, Laurent, how about you?
We're doing Not Very Thoughtful, are we?
Yes, that was me just being facetious. Sorry.
Right. I enjoy his writing, Mr. Australia. I don't remember hearing his voice before. I thought he did a great job with this. When he says, so I got up this morning and gathered my thoughts, put on thongs, a t-shirt, a pair of board shorts, weather so bad, actually causing the accidents, it rains. Here I am dodging puddles, getting chillblains. He doesn't like the weather. He's willing to shout at the weather gods. There's a little bit of humor in here. He's a self-deprecating writer, writing about the weather gods. Not at all thoughtful. I enjoy his poetry a great deal. I enjoyed this piece as well.
Thank you, Laurel. Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was a great read and a write by Poeta. You know, all I put was rain, rain, rain. Sorry, state of affairs. Clever and nicely sense. You know, much enjoyed. I mean, if there's any type of truth to it, I mean, it's just sad. You know, you move to be with somebody and the weather is just lousy. You know, there's nothing else to do but to stay with each other. Pretty much. You know, that means that maybe they're shopping. The money only lasts so long. So, wonderful job, Poeta, and thank you for sharing with us as a whole.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. I like the picture. Sitting on the beach in a chair with a brawley. A nice touch of rain pattering out down, so that adds a nice bit of flavor to it as well. But Laurent was right. This is a nice self-deprecating note. A lot of I like the humor in this because it's poking fun at himself. Well, you know what? When it comes to weather, you're living down by the beach, you're bound to get your fair share of rain because, hey, the warm currents and the wind deliver that back to you, which you sit next to. So maybe that was not in the offering up front. But I do like the humid notes. Now every fortnight I've got to mow my yard 3 times. So instead of once a week, he's got to mow in between because it's raining so much. So I guess it's kind of hitting on spring before the actual summer months come in. And it is kind of a mournful note too. Yeah, I'm kind of stuck here. But the funny thing is, might be not very thoughtful as a title, but he put a lot of thought into the voice. Nicely done, Poeta. Thank you. All right, Gene, we're back at you.
Okay, well, try as I might, we're going to have carryover, so that's just the way life's going to be. And whatever. So the next piece I'm going to put up Little Boxes by Weaver of Dreams. And I have an audio for that. She's bashful.
Where am I when I need me the most? 20 years in my past, I swear. The me I was then would have shrugged and moved on, finger raised in salutation, needing no one's approbation. I've become a parody of my own potential, wit and charm still there, though tainted. In my head, my repartee darts, stings, sparkles. Sharp, insightful, totally delightful, when the reality is, I'm outdated. If it's true a vacuum is something nature abhors, why are there still facile sycophants and boards? I see us in little boxes, stacked 100 stories high. Is that our future? Are we plugged in, switched on, living one to each cell?
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It's much appreciated. And Gene, you get to kick us off.
Okay. Well, Kate, I thought this was really an intriguing write. You know, your intro stanza alone. Where am I when I need my most? 20 years in my past, that's where. The me I was then would have shrugged and moved on. Finger raised in salutation, needing no one's approbation. What a wonderful way to lead into this. And I think your closing stanza was just as intriguing to me because you get into the box. You know, there's where your little boxes are. And clever. I mean, it's just a clever write, and I thought it was nicely done. So, yeah, it was nice work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us, as always. Great job.
Thank you, Gene. Laurent, how about you?
Weaver, I like the concept of each of us living in our own little box. It's figuratively true. I mean, we all live in our own universe, so to speak. But I'm kind of hoping it won't be literally true as well. I see us little boxes stacked 100 stories high that our future, are we plugged in, switched on, living one to each self. That kind of reminds me of the scene in The Matrix where they're all in those little, call them cells, if you like. And that really bothered me to see us being basically raised like bees in a hive or a little box. I love the, I've become a parody of my own potential. Wit and charm, still there. No change in that. That was nice. Where am I when I need you the most? Really, very well written, my dear.
Thank you.
Nice. Well, thank you. Kate, I like the illusion biting at the illusion and the fun you have in that first stanza with the, you know what? Here's the bird for you. Maybe I'll just offer you a feather because you ain't really worth the full bird, so to speak. And that notion of becoming a parody of my own potential. Wit and charm still there, though tainted in my head, my repartee darts, stings, sparkles, sharp, insightful, totally delightful, when the reality is I'm outdated. Kind of hits, again, as generationally, you get to a point where things progress and people are then relegated to the heap, so to speak. And the back end of this kind of walks in that notion, as Rob was pointing out, that instead of with the hive mind, but that note to being in the matrix in that 100 stories high, each living one to each cell, which offers up two thoughts. The box being the prison itself, but also the thought of the cell, one organism. Nicely done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Dean, we're coming at you.
Okay, I have three that I'd like to finish. Three. I'd like to finish more, but that's not going to help. So I'm going to go to Laurent. And Laurent, if you would be so kind as to read this piece wherever I put it, I'll put it right there. Here we go again. This is by Dammit Dave, and it's called Shooting Stars and Fireflies.
All right. Shooting Stars and Fireflies, a modern sonnet by Dammit Dave. Sometimes true love comes not as shooting stars. It may come as a beacon in the night. It may appear as fireflies in jars or as a crescent moon with tempered light. A moon may not explode upon the scene. It may creep up and catch you unaware. Most oftentimes, it's somewhere in between. No matter how, it's still a grand affair. Sometimes true love approaches as a friend. In time, you build devotion, warmth, and trust. You never know what lies around the bend, for diamonds often hide within the dust. So whether you see stars or fireflies, you'll know by the reflection of your eyes. End poem. Nice job.
Hey, Ruby Ron. Kate, let's start with you, please.
Okay. I do like Dammit Dave's writing. It's not always the same, which is great. It's not the same pattern thrown out time after time, which does sometimes happen. It's happened to me. But this is lovely. This is all about what true love can be. And again, we have the illusion of light, shooting stars, Cupid and his arrows. It may explode upon the scene. Yes, it does sometimes. But it also creeps up and catches you unaware in other times. So yes, you've got both sides of that. You can instantly be attracted to somebody. But then you find sometimes it takes a while. You're friends first. Yeah, sometimes true love approaches as a friend. He read my mind. And so I think this is beautifully read. I should have read the rest of it. Ah, dear. But I like that the last understand it again. So whether you see stars or fireflies, you know by the reflection in her eyes. I'm sorry, my mouth is so dry, I can hardly talk, but it was beautiful and I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Thanks, Dave. Jean, how about you?
You know, I think Dave did a great job with this piece. If you know, and it helps that I'm a little partial to fireflies. You know, I love the imagery throughout this piece. Great rhyme, meter, imagery. I just think it was just so well done. I love the, you know, I love the first stanza, and I love the last two lines. Yeah, it just really was excellent work. And thank you, Dave, for putting this on the board for tonight. Really, really nice job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, you got to read it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love is not a plodding horse moving slowly down a guided path. Love darts sideways. It approaches obliquely. One never knows what it will hit. Part of its charm, I guess. This is superior writing and rhyming. David Dave uses the sonnet frequently, almost all the time, and it serves him very well.
Thank you, Laurent. And you're right, that one line kind of rings in that note. Most often times, it's somewhere in between. That little touch of out of nowhere, so to speak. Nicely done, Dave. And Jean, we're coming to you.
God, I need to type faster at the end of these shows.
Well, you did
okay.
Say you need two more, get them two more in.
Oh, I'm telling you. Can I get you to read the next one for me, Anne?
Sure.
This is by Nandav Somo. So here we go. Whenever you're ready.
Catalyst of Change by Nandav Somo. Fires of passion, cast aside your fear of the flame. Embrace all that you are, for you are anything but plain. Bring back warmth to your inner world. Rise, do not shrink. Stand tall and fierce, allowing authentic voices to be heard. Fire spirits, evoke natural attraction, lust and desire, handle mindfully. If not to be consumed, reducing all to ashes, raging through my body, burning out all negative traits, aging rapidly now. This change, it will not wait. Flames lick away old wounds, cauterizing flesh, replacing with a sacred glow, which I have never known before. Kundalini awakens, claiming power, pure light with might, vitality, and vigor, offering light to others along the way. Growth never stops. It happens every day, invoking pure love, renewing passions as the element of fire holds the strength that one must seek, battling before the awesome catalyst change. End poem. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
You know, can you come back to me, please, on that?
Sure. Kate, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I love this. This is wonderful. The picture is there, fire of passion. And it does, when it's right, it can totally consume you. When it's wrong, the sparks fly away and leave you very unhappy. So I think this is a beautiful narrative and most enjoyable, and the use of the element of fire throughout just keeps that heat going. So yes, I thought it was a wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kate. And Jean? That's not maybe.
I knew it. Yeah, I can't help myself. You know, I think this is a wonderful piece by Pam. Fires is passion, starts out with. But then it gets into fires are cauterizing. And flames take away old wounds. I mean, it's got a lot going on in here, and it just is that, you know, the catalyst of change. Fire, what is the term they use? Fire by fire? Something like that? I think that's,
yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what I sense going on here. You know, you go through this whole piece, and the fire is just really well done. Pam is a wonderful poet, and it's great to see a piece like this from her. Thanks for sharing, Pam.
Thank you, Jean. Laurent, how about you?
When you sit down next to the fire and you sit too close, you're apt to get burned. This talks really, really interestingly about the flames of passion, which can immolate you, consume you, if you are not very, very careful. Lust and desire, handle mindfully as not to be consumed, reducing all to ashes. Love the short lines, love the imagery, the word choices. Enjoy the reference to Kundalini, yoga, I guess. Walk in pure light with might, vitality, and vigor. It's really well done.
Oh, absolutely. The Kundalini, I think, is part of the chakra. It's based in at the bottom of the spine in the female. So I think the fire of the passion here is it's all right to have the fire of the passion, but don't let them consume you. That's part of this. But it also, in letting the consumption, you can also free yourself of that which is spiritually debilitating, that which keeps you ungrounded, so to speak. Therefore, if you embrace the whole mantra that walks within this thought, you come out the other side as a phoenix, something that sits more pleasurable within your own skin, within your own self. And I think that's the catalyst to change that you're sitting on, embracing oneself. Nicely done, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, Rebecca, see you.
Okay, the last one I'm going to put up, and then you all for indulging me, is going to be by Selena, and I have an audio for this. So here we go. It's called No Ordinary Love by Selena.
Wandering in the dark, for the light of you has melted away, like the soft warm embers of autumn sun in winter's chill. Each tragic teardrop falling like leaves from the trees, as I recall each moment you sought my soul to thrill. Those halcyon days of delight, when long we laughed and loved, when with your sweet song of ardor my willing heart you entranced. The nights I responded eagerly, tailor-made for your exquisite touch, and to the rhythm of each other's heartbeat we deliriously danced. My once serene spirit now wanders a wilderness of barren wasteland, where the plaintive song of the woeful wind echoes my painful pining for the rare essence of you that filled my days with enchantment, memories of what once was around me, ever entwining. This is no ordinary love I feel for you, eclipsing the brightest star, reaching vaster than the universe, enduring until its death. Each day is wretched without you, each night a cruel cross to bear, and I will crave the sublime sight of you until my final breath.
Great read, Selena. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. All right, Laurent, why don't we kick it with you first?
As the last poem of the evening, I wanted to enjoy it because I enjoy listening to Selena Reed. She does a great job. She always has great music, too. So I kind of closed my eyes and I let myself listen, and you know, conjuring the images that the words brought into my mind with my eyes closed. I really like things like those halcyon days of delight, when long we laughed and loved. All the way through this, there is a clever little alliterations. Another one is deliriously danced, painful pining. Those are just little things that she introduces into the poem that really add to the body of the work. The plaintive song of the woeful wind echoes my painful pining. That's what it is all about. The last line, and I will crave the sublime sight of you until my final breath. This continues to reinforce what I said a little bit earlier. I like the skill with which she writes. I like the images that she produces. I think it flows really well.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes. Selena, at her very, very best. Always beautiful background music and that wonderful voice reading a very sad and very poignant story to us. I thought it was lovely. She almost had me dozing off, not in a bad way, Selena, honestly, just because it was so relaxing to hear your voice. Have you thought about hypnotism? Mm-hmm. I bet you could do that, no problem. So, yes, I thought it was lovely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you? Jean, are you there? Uh-oh.
Yes, I am.
Fool us again.
You know, sometimes you just shoot that news, but what a fabulous job by Selena. Wonderful imagery throughout. And as you know, as Laurent had pointed out, you know, she always has this beautiful, like, bits of alliteration throughout that just kind of keep you, it's very pleasant to the ear, and it's wonderful. It's not overdone. It's not, like, heavy alliteration, but there's just enough here and a little there, and, you know, and I think that's great. I did pull Wandering in the Dark for the Light of You has melted away like the soft, warm embers of autumn sun in winter's chill. Each tragic teardrop falling like leaves from the trees. As I recall each moment, you've got my soul to thrill. Just incredible work, Selena, and thank you so much for sharing with us. And, I just loved it. Great job.
Great comments, everybody. I agree that that mournful, sad tone in the violin was quite the background piece, and the opening and the voice that held along with it was the right somber note as well. And this was that second last stanza, I think, was just perfectly beautiful. My once serene spirit now wanders the wilderness of barren wasteland, where the plaintive song of the woeful wind echoes my painful pining. For the rarest essence of you that filled my days with enchantment, memories of what once was around me, ever entwining. Nicely done, Selena. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back to you for the closing angle.
As much as I would have loved to have cleared the board tonight, there's just no way I could do it. We have three carryovers. We have Naomi Sarah, I have Phoenix Heredia, and I have Kiko. They're the three that I'll be carrying over to next Friday night, and they will be on that board. And I apologize if we didn't get to them, but, you know, time does not allow. I try and take them somewhat of an order of when they come in. But great job, and thank you, everybody who shared with us. Absolutely wonderful. Rex, thank you as always for co-hosting with me. And Laurent and Kate, thank you so much for calling and hanging in all night. It was fun. It was great. Great voices, great comments. Just wonderful. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
Thank you, everybody.
Email them before. I'll be here next Friday. Me and Rex. So, you know, whatever.
Okay. Lovely night. Thank you so much for inviting me. Or me inviting myself.
Yeah.
You are always always invited. Don't ever feel like you're not. You're always invited.
Oh, thank you. So kind. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when you're around. You add a spark to the show. A different kind of spark.
Oh, no. That sounds... Yeah, okay. I'll take that. I'm a different kind of spark. I love it. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
so
it's
kind.
A good thing, definitely.
Good.
Well, I hope everybody all... if anybody's free and available, Park Center Port St., 12:30. Mm-hmm. Faziana M. Babbler. It's always a good show. So, y'all take care, and I will talk to you all soon. Thanks, everybody.
Okay,
good night.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Much love.
Sleep well. Good night.
Good night, sir. You too, hon.
Good night, gang.
Good night, Rex. Good night, Laurent.